others getting chased. Some sniffing, some getting high, licking sesame high.
Some get high,
jamming sesame high. Then go west to watch sunset at the Rick's Cafe. But from a little cottage in the green,
How's it going, people out there in Heterotopia land?
The neurons in Heterotopia appear to be normal.
This is Charles Pitts, and what I'm going to do is DJ Ashik will be back to give you the word of the day. I mean, he will be back to give you what you just listened to. But what I'm going to do is I got this thing I'm trying to work on. It's called the word of the day. And last time was groupthink, everybody, path of least resistance and destroying things. But the new word, for today is gonna be structural violence. And let me start with, it is a term commonly ascribed to Johann Gatron, which he introduced in the article Violence, Peace, and Peace Research. It refers to a form of structural violence when at some structural or social institution may harm people by preventing them from getting their basic needs met. Institutionalized altruism, ageism, classism, elitism, nationalism, racism, and sexism are some examples of structural violence as proposed by Gantuag. According to Gantuag, rather than conveying a physical image, structural violence is an avoidable impairment of fundamental human needs. It is also avoidable. Structural violence is also a high cause of premature death and unnecessary disability. Because structural violence affects people differently in various social structures, it is very closely linked to social injustice. Structural violence and also direct violence are said to be highly I don't know that word. My English isn't very good. Interdependent, including family violence, gender violence, hate crimes, racial violence, police violence, state violence, terrorism, and war. So that's, I don't know, it's just something to think about as we go through our day-to-day life. I think what'll happen next is DJ Ashik is working on the set list. But the other thing too is what I want to do is I'm interested in I'm interested in some of these random countries that we also miss. I think many of them are going to be South America. Let me see here. That's interesting. What I got is, wow, Bahrain, you're correct. It's not South America, but this is Asia. Okay, I need a map here. My English isn't very good. Here we go. Let's go to the set list.
That was DJ Charles talking about structural violence. Look, folks, structural violence is very serious because oftentimes we're only taken by the violence that is imminent. And that brings me to the infamous term in modern parlance, which is that of terrorism, right? And, under that would be George W. Bush, right? The definition of terrorism was retooled and reinvented, and it was turned into this amorphous term that essentially meant any kind of armed resistance to state power. With a particular lens focused on Muslims around the world, right? So this was a retooling of the language, is what it constituted, if you actually look up the definition of terrorism, it constitutes imminent threat, right? Terror is fear of imminent attack, and whereas the postmodern definition of terrorism has become something completely different. Something, it's almost undefinable right now, which is which is exactly how they wanted it, so that they could call terrorists, call terrorism on anything that that contradicted the state. And this is not accidental. This was intentional. And
I mean, I'm sorry, but okay, terrorism, Ku Klux Klan, hate groups, the police department, especially San Francisco.
No, exactly. No, you make a good point. In fact, there was an FBI, Department of Justice report that came out sometime last year. I don't remember exactly when. That clarified that the fact that the majority of real terrorist threats actually came from white power groups as opposed to Islamists, which was the running fear. My point is this: is that you're talking about structural violence, and the fact of the matter is that a lot of violence comes from places that are enshrined in the public mind as respectable, or enshrined as legit.
How does that saying go? Dead rodents in the window.
I don't know the saying, but I like it.
I think it's Russian, where it's saying no matter how well you dress up the dead rodents, they're still dead rodents.
I don't know the saying, but I still like the saying. I think it works, you know. The other side is Charles trying to drop some knowledge about just different countries around the world, and I don't know about. I think it's important to be humble, because there is a there's a lack of awareness, I think, amongst many people about different places outside of where you're at. And that doesn't just go for the UCPSA, that goes for a lot of the world. Although the UCPSA is particularly deficient in this regard in general.
There's also another phenomenon, like in certain countries where their infrastructure, their education systems have been destroyed. So what happens is these other countries bring in books, and what happens is they know more about all of these other countries than the own country that they're in.
This is another phenomenon. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I would just say this. We assume nothing about the listeners, and that there's a piece of Heterotopia that is educational. Part of the reason that we spend so much time focusing on other parts of the world is because we don't think it gets enough airplay, and we don't think that there's enough coverage. And so, like Bahrain in the Middle East, which ultimately is a despotic regime, that anti-people regime, that is, of course, a UCPSA ally. We're going to talk about Bahrain. We're going to do a little bit more of this, just a little bit of geographical awareness, because I think a lot of times that's elided over, and I think it's important. I think from a humble place, not from an arrogant place, but from a humble place, it's important to know the world that you're talking about. I think that there's a lot of people that hear about, for example, what the fuck's going on in Iraq or Afghanistan, but couldn't point it out on a globe unless it was labeled in big letters. And that's not a condemnation of individuals. It's a condemnation of political education.
Our educational system.
Yeah, our educational system.
Our media.
And so it's offered as a public service, but I want to step back from that for a minute. I want to step back from that. I want to let you know what you heard tonight, and tonight we had a nice eclectic mix of music from around the globe. And so we started with Hraz Mezenai. And Hraz Mezenai is he's producing music here in the UCPSA. For those of you new listeners, that's the United Capitalist Prison States of America. And he is a Jewish man that has taken a intense interest in counteracting stereotypes across the board, stereotypes about Jews, stereotypes about Muslims, stereotypes about the Islamic world, and just sort of almost like a pan-Semitic radical artist. And a very brilliant, in my mind, experimental musician as well. And that was Child Sleeps off of The Unspeakable. And that was, you know, that kind of eerie track that we started out with. We followed that with Paris Maquis was the track. The band was Metal Urbane. This was off of their album from the 70s, Anarchy in Paris. This is, so 1977 was the year, right? This is like anarcho-punk. This is French anarcho-punk. And that's dedicated to the fact that we just passed the anniversary of the Charlie Hebdo assassinations, killings, right? And, you know, we wanted to pay homage to the victims of that. And also to challenge, right? To challenge all of the major narratives regarding that, right? Because on both sides, you know, we challenge the innocent victim narrative. And then we also challenge the Islamist narrative, because I don't think something that's offensive to you warrants a death sentence. And Charlie Hebdo was notorious. I mean, it was like the Mad Magazine of France. They were notorious for pushing the limit and talking shit. And we're free speechers here, so we support that. On the other hand, what we don't support is bigotry of any side, of any color or flag. And so we don't support the idea that a media outlet produces something completely offensive to a huge population of the world, and then there's results, and then the response is, oh, we didn't do anything. No, that's not true either. You did some shit. You got called on it in a fucked up way. And that's what really happened. You know, again, we don't condone assassination for political disagreement or religious disagreement or anything of this sort. But let's not, you know, let's not mince words. You talk shit and you got called on it. Straight up. Okay, moving along. There's been a lot of, speaking of shit talk, there's been a lot of shit talk about North Korea in the last few days, and about the alleged hydrogen bomb test, which it's difficult, if impossible, to find any reliable, you know, accounts of or evidence of. But it's been all over the corporate media in the UCPSA. And so, you know, with condemnations and sanctions and sanctions, what the fuck are you sanctioning? The people in North Korea are starving. Their economy is fucked up. The fuck are you going to sanction? So anyway, in light of all this, we played a North Korean lullaby performed by Sunjun Lee and Eddie Reader from Scotland, and that was a song called Stars Are Rising. After that, we heard from Angelique Kidjo, and that was Congo Habanera. And that was a, you know, this was this kind of internationalism that we like. And this was Africa paying tribute to Cuba.
right? And so we followed that with Think of One and the Marrakesh Emballage Ensemble. And that was Utuva.
Oh, where are you going? Where are you going?
Followed that with a historical piece. That was Edgar Recinos' Revolution, talking about the revolutionary history of Guatemala. When we get into the news a little bit later, we're going to talk about, excuse me, folks, fighting a little something right now. We get into news a little bit later. We're going to talk about what's happening, current events in Guatemala this week. After that, we heard that this was a debut, probably the first radio show that this song has ever been played on. And it was Justice for Mario Woods. And it was by the Justice for Mario Woods Coalition. But in reality, I mean, this is the attribution that... this is the attribution that was... Excuse me, folks. Like I said, I'm fighting something. Given for this track. And... but it in reality, the performers that that laid this track down are some brilliant local performers, and specifically, we're talking about Equipto, Selassie, Champnasa, Xiomara, and it was produced by Hilo. And Mario Woods, we're going to get into Mario Woods a little bit in a minute also with the news, was a 26-year-old man who was controversially and unnecessarily killed by gunfire from San Francisco police officers on December 2nd of last year. And the Justice for Mario Woods Coalition, which the song is being attributed to, has three demands: the firing or resignation of San Francisco Police Department Chief Greg Suhr, the officers who were involved in the shooting to be suspended without pay and charged with murder, and an independent investigation into the case. So those are the demands. This is music backing up those demands. It kind of reminds me of the introduction that we play every week for the show, which, you know, clearly states... do not make music about revolution. Make the revolution and let that inspire the music, right? Mm-hmm. So, straight up, let's do that. So that is that track. We follow that up with Saul Williams, Explain My Heart. What a beautiful track. Saul Williams was one of the major voices in the spoken word renaissance that took the world by storm in the 90s, sort of yet again reinventing poetry and reintroducing poetry to the world via pop culture. Beautiful, beautiful track. We followed that with Saul Williams hails from the UCPSA as well. After that, we heard Estoy Harto de Ver, which is a anonymous track, protest song, de Mexico. There are people that, you know, speculated similar to Ricardo Arjona. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know who the artist was, but it's a beautiful, beautiful song, nevertheless, talking about the resistance in Oaxaca, amongst other places, and fucking beautiful. So we thought we'd share that with you. Following that, we heard Bayview Sunset. And that song, you know... Honestly, I don't like to do it because it feels a little bit, I don't know what you call it, selfish or self-congratulatory or whatever, but that was, Yours truly, DJ Ashik, with former Heterotopia host Shinobi 009, a.k.a. Red Turban. And that was us. That was me and Red Turban together laying down a track. So it doesn't happen all the time, actually. I think this is probably the first time in many years that we've played any of our own material. We tend to like to promote other folk. But that was what that was about. That was me and Red Turban laying it down, Bayview Sunset. And when we get into the news, the local news, you know, you'll maybe understand why I thought tonight was an appropriate time to play that song. Following that, we're in Jamaica, Dwayne Stevenson from A Little Cottage in Negril. Right now in San Francisco, there's a lot of attention being paid to the Mario Woods case with just cause, because it was a horrific killing by the state, by the San Francisco Police Department. But there, actually last year, were many other victims of San Francisco police murder and police violence. And short ways from Negril is Mo Bay, Jamaica, or Montego Bay, Jamaica, which is where the family of O'Shane Evans hails from, who is another victim of San Francisco police murder. And so that song was dedicated to O'Shane and his family. And we want to let them know and let the world know that we are not ambulance chasers. We do not sit here and wait for the one killing that's caught on video, but we love and support the families of all victims of state violence. And we'll be talking a lot about state violence in the show tonight.
Well, if we were ambulance chasers, our ambulance couldn't hold enough gas, because they're saying every 28 hours someone dies. And back in
which is the statistic from the Operation Ghetto Storm report of produced by the Malcolm X Grassroots Committee and project. It's actually been challenged since then with statistics that say that it's, in fact, more than that. Malcolm X Grassroots Movement, I'm sorry, again, I'm fighting a head cold. I apologize.
Well, I think one of the things, too, is back where I'm from, the Lake County, Zion, Illinois, there was another shooting of someone. So, and I think that was after the Mario Woods, so there's always somebody else that's passing away. And it's interesting how people of a certain race can do something, but then somebody else does it and now they're dead. So, but are we finished with the set list?
No, we got a couple more. Right. We got a couple more. One more, actually. Not a couple more. We got one more. We got Yasmin Levy, and that was Nacion Al Amor. And that was an interpretation of an old Spanish gypsy song. And I love this. I love this song. This song is like an anthem for me. The lyrics, No tengo lugar, no tengo paisaje. Yo meno tengo patria. I have no place. I have no path. I have no country. Con mis dedos hago fuego. Con mi corazón te canto. Las cuerdas de mi corazón llorar. With my fingers I have fire. With my heart I sing you. The chords of my heart weep. Wow. Fuck yeah. Wow.
So this is a song dedicated to all people who feel out of place, who feel they have no home, specifically to migrante folk. And here I'm thinking of migrante folk coming from different places. I'm thinking of migrante folk coming from Latin America, coming up to the UCPSA to try and make something happen to take care of their families. I'm thinking of the migrante folk coming from Syria and Afghanistan and Iraq and all the fucked up wars that we're having. And who are forced to relocate, maybe not here, maybe in Europe, although some here in different places. There's this bastard Trump and his cohort talking about all this closed border shit and all this nativist crap, which, you know, clearly is challenged by an actual native claim, first off. Here I'm thinking about First Nations people, you know, Native American folk. But in any case, it's dedicated to all migrante people, and also dreamers and true believers and fighters and freedom fighters and people that do not have a particular sense of nationalism or allegiance to the capitalist power that they happen to reside within the midst of. And that was the set for tonight, folks. That was the music so far, because there's more to come. But before we get into the news of you, my, our world, I want to turn it over to DJ Charles, because he's got some words for you.
There was a protest slash in Arago. There's a ceremony for Ed Lee, their mayor. So, what's the question, DJ Ashik?
DJ Charles, you said you wanted to rap with the people about some stuff before we broke into the news. What's on your mind?
Well, there's several things. There was another shooting in Zion, Illinois, that's important because you got a little itty bitty town of 60,000 people, and in like 8 months, two people have been killed by the police department. So I think we'll have more stories about that, but it's just very interesting with the Mario Woods incident slash protest, the mayor being sworn in. It's
what you want to start off with that? You want to talk about that? So let's do this. Let's play a clip from that, actually. Let's play a little soundbite from that so you can hear what's going on. DJ Charles was actually there at... So what happens is we were talking about Mario Woods, and we heard that new track that just came out with Equipto and Selassie and all them. And there was a massive action yesterday morning at the inauguration of so-called Mayor Ed Lee. It was disrupted. DJ Charles was actually assaulted by law enforcement. He's here.
Assault, battered, injured.
Yeah. And so we'll go to a clip from that, and then we're going to talk with DJ Charles for a minute about what happened, what exactly happened yesterday. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Heterotopia on Mutiny Radio.
Thank you.
Hey, so that was sounds from City Hall in San Francisco just yesterday, where hundreds of people made their way into the rotunda, into City Hall, to protest the inauguration of so-called Mayor Ed Lee. Amongst those was co-host here of Heterotopia on Mutiny Radio, DJ Charles, who was actually arrested and injured as part of the process. So, DJ Charles, you wanna lay it out for us what yesterday was about, why y'all were out there, and what happened yesterday afternoon at San Francisco City Hall?
Well, I feel everybody's gonna have different reasons why they're out there exactly, but for me, part of it, you know, to me, Mario Woods is the hammer or the wrench to get the police from being so excessive and get them to slow down, get them to stop this murder spree that they're on. So Mario Woods is, he's like the catalyst for change at this point. That's my thing. And I want justice for Mario Woods. And I want to see the 10-year plan, because I don't know, it's we're going back to nation building, that conversation we had before, whereas
we'll lay it down.
Well, I mean, they got three demands. If they get all of those demands, then what? You got all these people meeting, they get all their demands met, then what? I mean our community is still struggling economically. We still have structure, violence, and racism. So, I mean, and the land that many are, the majority of the blacks are on in San Francisco is a Superfund site. And so we got serious problems. So I guess I'm just very angry in that. We need to look past. I mean, we need to address Mario Woods, but then we also need to see the community in all of its needs. So that's the bat phone. But we'll call him back. But
that's not the bat phone. That's just a random agreement of you of Booker T. Booker T and the MG's Green Onions up here.
Yeah, well, I guess we're going back to this snippet right as of now. So, you know, Mayor Ed Lee, he brings all his people into City Hall, and it always bothers me as to, you know, London Breed said something about it's our house, it's the people's house, except for when the rich people come in, they're people with guns come and lock you out. they lock you out and kick you out of your own home because somebody else, they just don't want you there. They don't want the citizenry there. I mean, and it's happening. You know, the rich white people come, and the poor people, I mean, they surround you with their officers with guns and they kick you out of City Hall and they lock the doors behind you. So you actually hear the doors lock behind you. So, let's go back to Mario.
Well, let me just, I want to just like give a little background information for people that, may not have caught this yet. You know. Remember that there's people listening from different parts of the world. So Mario Woods was a young brother assassinated by the San Francisco Police Department quite publicly on December 2nd of last year. And he was gunned down roughly around 5 o'clock in the evening on that day. By San Francisco police officers, multiple police officers. People are bitching around about the number of cops, somewhere between 5 and 8 cops, gunned him down on 3rd Street in the Bayview district of Bayview Hunters Point district of San Francisco. They allege he had a knife, but video clearly shows that he was surrounded by officers with guns drawn and that he posed no threat to.
I don't know. The funny part to me is that looks very similar to the other knife that was in the other police shooting.
Which one are you referring to?
I don't know. I forget which one it was. Was it the? I can't pronounce his name. There was the one about the bicycle or something.
Amilcar Perez Lopez.
Yeah. So
another victim. This was a Guatemaltecan victim of police murder in San Francisco.
Okay. So do the police have a set of knives in their trunk, and then when they shoot someone, they pull them out. They have like a set of steak knives that they pull out.
Well, I tell you, I appreciate the commentary. I'm not gonna go that far with it.
Well, I'm from Chicago.
My thing is, I don't want to trivialize the cases. I think the analogy I think the important thing is not whether or not they have a set of steak knives
to drop at the scene.
I think the important thing is the analogy between both cases is that in both cases, there was an allegation that the justification for the shooting had to do with the proposed existence of the victim having a knife, and in both cases, it is quite clear that the assassination was illegitimate. In the case of Amilcar Perez Lopez, two independent autopsies show he was shot in the fucking back.
Yeah,
what
did our good old police chief say?
The police chief said it was justified. He was coming at with.
I guess he was lunging at the police officers with a knife backwards. So he was lunging backwards towards them.
Well, this is the kind of ludicrous shit that they expect people to swallow. This is like the Kenneth Harding thing, the Gumby shit, where the final rendition of the story is he shot himself. But most people don't even know the preliminary version of that ludicrous story, which was when they were trying to tell us that he wrapped his arm around his body to shoot at officers. And then they tried to, while moving away from officers, and they tried to tell us that was common. And they even gave a physical demonstration with him wrapping his right arm around the left side of his body to shoot at officers without, you know, failing to address one critical point, which was that Kenneth Harding was left-handed. Oops. Yeah. Anyway, so this is the kind of absurdity that we are expected to digest by the local law enforcement justify their murderous behavior.
There's another situation that has been continuously played in alternative media where they're saying that the police officers and our Greg Sir he had his knife while he was surrounded or entrapped and he was coming towards them, and the video doesn't show that.
Well, so look, here's my thing, and I'm not going to speculate on the facts of the case. I'm not going to make any declarative statements.
I think there were several news medias that
I don't give a fuck what the other news media says, because those several news medias are corporate news medias with agendas.
Well, if they're saying the guy didn't have his knife raised and they shot him, I mean, I think that's very important.
So it is very important, which is why I'm not going to make any declarative statements. What I'm going to say is...
I'm just documenting what they said. Yeah.
So all I'm going to say is this. There was clear audio from all of the videos that said, oh, please just drop it over... I'm paraphrasing here, but for the love of God, just drop it. My interpretation of that, based on the tone, based on the, you know, the cadence... Based on the what I heard in that video, seems I will make no declarative statement, seems to indicate to me that there may possibly have been a knife. What is clear to me is that watching the footage, even if there was, and again, this is not determined yet,
a box of even if there was the back of a police officer's
knife,
car.
Even if there was a knife present, even if it was a knife brandished, it did not constitute a physical danger to any officer. I don't, and here's my thing. Am I open to the possibility that no knife existed? Yes. But I don't need to run that hard line of an argument, because in my mind, whether or not there was a knife present, the murder was illegitimate. Well, and that's the point that I think needs to be made.
I guess in the video, the guy was, he was somehow impaired and in duress. So this isn't some MIA fighter with a knife. This is someone who's impaired. And sure, they surround him and they shoot him.
Sure, but my point is, and we have Micah Holick here in the studio as well. Welcome back, Micah Holick.
Hey, thanks for having me. What's up, fellas?
What's happening?
Not much. Dropping in, join the conversation.
Micah Holick, jump in here on this.
Well, I was gonna say, I mean, to further your point that whether or not he has a knife, he doesn't constitute a threat. I mean, it's pretty obvious from the video. He's like, he might be holding something, but he is not making any aggressive movements. And the other thing is, when one cop shoots, do all of them just start shooting? I mean, like, one gunshot will stop a guy with a knife. Right, you don't have to riddle him with bullets and make sure there's no chance that he survives.
Well, there's that whole thing of supportive fire, and that's a 6725-A that we should look into.
67-25A, for those who are not part of the San Francisco milieu, or those that don't spend onerous amounts of time at City Hall, this is the code for San Francisco's Sunshine Ordinance, which is our local Freedom of Information Act slash.
Well, I think the short answer is give me my information in 24 hours. That's the short
slash answer. Public Records Act. It's an immediate disclosure request. It gives 24 hours to any branch of city government to provide documentation of pretty much anything that happened.
Well, you know, no, it has to be a document. You can't generate a document, but you could. I mean, if you can, they might skate it. Depending on, it might be easier to generate a document and give it to you than try to pull all the documents and give you something. But it's, I mean,
but point being, it's just an information request. I think we need to go back to the real substantive conversation, which is the police killing of Mario Woods. And the question, Charles, that you brought up about that Mike Holick brought up and that you were addressing about support fire.
Yeah, so I mean, that's an information request, what their policy and procedure is. And I mean people are saying, and they're going on and on and on, and they're like, You shot him like a dog. You shot him like a dog. You shot him 20 times. When's the last time somebody shot a dog 25 times?
Actually, over 40 times.
Okay, yeah. Well, when's the last time somebody shot a dog 20 or 40 times?
Right, and I think I was out of town when the incident with Mario Woods, that, you know, the incident that ended his life, happened. So I was researching it later. And one of the websites I looked at had a link to a video in the UK where there's this guy with a 3-foot machete swinging it around, you know, acting crazy with, you know, the type of weapon that could take your head off. And the officers